Aaliyah is back on the charts again. One in a Million is now in the top 10 of the Billboard charts this week. The late singer and actress's second album is now available for streaming after two decades in limbo. The rest of her catalog is expected to be released by the end of the year. It was clear to many during Aaliyah's life that she was on the cusp of stardom before she died in a plane crash 20 years ago at the age of 22. For example, here's a clip of a young Beyoncé interviewing Aaliyah on the red carpet at the MTV Awards in 2000. Beyoncé, clearly enamored, asks Aaliyah, "What's it like to star in movies?"
Now, you've been working it with these movies. Were you nervous?
Very nervous, but I'm real happy. It's something I've wanted for a long time, so yes. Finally make that transition. It's great.
Writer Imani Mixon has been reflecting on the life and legacy of Aaliyah. She's written a piece in the Detroit Metro Times called Remembering and Releasing Aaliyah, 20 Years Later. Welcome to Here and Now, Imani.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Imani, thank you. You know, Aaliyah was raised in your hometown of Detroit, but as you write, in the larger public consciousness, she's not really connected to the city. What does Aaliyah signify to Detroiters?
Wow. So I think Aaliyah signifies possibility, right? Like, she is the coolest girl everywhere, the prettiest girl everywhere, so cool and so pretty and so talented that nobody even cares where she's from. And I think there is beauty in, you know, kind of carrying a city on your back as an entertainer, but there also is a beauty in paving your own way and, you know, sort of just being everybody's everything, I think, is kind of what she was while she was here on Earth. And then she continues to be that now.
One in a Million is Aaliyah's most celebrated work, produced by Timbaland. And here's a little of her 1998 single, Are You That Somebody? Imani, as you know, current day hip hop and R&B artists still name drop Aaliyah as an inspiration. Her voice and lyrics are often sampled to this day. In some ways, she's everywhere and nowhere at the same time. And what I mean by that is that she's inspired so many artists, but she's still unknown to a lot of people. It's part of what is so painful to her fans, right? Everyone kind of felt like she was on her way to being like a big star.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's definitely something I touched on in the article, and also something that came up with a lot of the people that I interviewed. There is this sort of holy memory of her. And I think it's because she was so young and because she was so great, and because we don't really know what her future would be like, even though we can imagine and wish all these things on her legacy. I think that is a place of both celebration and sadness for a lot of people.
Aaliyah's legacy has also become synonymous with R. Kelly. He produced her first album, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, and the two were briefly married when Aaliyah was just 15. And that resulted in this major tabloid scandal that Aaliyah, who was a child at the time, largely took the blame for. You don't even mention R. Kelly's name in your story, and that was intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I pitched this story about a year ago, and I really wrote it out of a place of reverence and care. And, you know, if this were me, or when you're meeting with a homegirl, you don't name drop her ex as soon as you get back to seeing her. And I know that his place in her life was much more traumatic and much more just horrible than just being an ex. But I am also just tired of Black women's stories being overshadowed by the men in their life. And I think that's something that we found with like Whitney as well, or even maybe Aretha Franklin.
Whitney Houston.
There's a way that she is frozen as the quintessential R&B girlfriend for a lot of people. A lot of male rappers have either, you know, done a non-consensual feature with her or dropped her name and just assumed, you know, like if she were alive, we would be together, or that would be my girl. And I think that is the conundrum that we create for ourselves when we tie somebody so closely to a romantic relationship with their career. And, you know, up until this moment, I also hadn't heard of any Black women writers writing about Aaliyah in the present moment, which is why it felt really important for me to do it. And I think in general, you know, we've been beneficiaries of women creating music for women. And I think Aaliyah was really good at that. And I think, you know, we could say a Normani, a Cardi B, a Meg Thee Stallion, a Beyonce even are also in that same lineage of making music for the girls. And I think that is a much more inviting place to enter Aaliyah's catalog than just thinking of her as an appendage to a powerful man.
We're in a period where R. Kelly is effectively canceled. But up until recently, the only Aaliyah album on streaming platforms was her first, the one that he produced. How do you reconcile the music from that album with what we know now?
I think it's really hard. And I think for some reason, music fans in particular are really deep into like the behind the scenes, behind the music take on things. So people are thirsty for like the behind the scenes story. And sometimes it's, in most cases with young Black women in the entertainment industry, it's not a rosy picture. It's not a picture that's easy to heal from. So I think that album has its own merit. Obviously, it was an important work for her. It was her first work while she was still in high school. But I chose to focus on the Aaliyah album, obviously, because it was released about 20 years ago, but also because I remember listening to that album in a way that I hadn't listened to other R&B albums. And it was one that I felt qualified to talk about. And I think it is a beautiful piece of art that she left us with. I think she grew leaps and bounds from One in a Million in so many ways that we'll never know, but also in the music.
Hmm. It's the album that you hold on to. 20 years ago, you were very young. How did Aaliyah help you craft your own identity as a Black woman and a creative?
For sure. I don't think it was a one-to-one thing. I really relish in the fact that I'm still a music fan. I still can enjoy music things, even though I do write arts and culture pieces. So I just enjoyed it. I like the way it sounds. It was all around me. It wasn't something I really had to navigate or like negotiate with others in the way that I necessarily did in the article. But I think she does become a model for success. If you're in Detroit and you're a singer, her name comes up. Or if you walk through the halls of Detroit School of Arts, her name comes up. So I think just that tangible idea that I can be from here, I can go anywhere and do anything, and I'll be respected for it, I think is the legacy that she left. But in general, she was just so easy to like and love. And I think that is what I enjoy most about being an Aaliyah fan. It's really easy. It's really easy to listen to her and look at her and enjoy that moment.
That's writer Imani Mixon talking about her story in the Detroit Metro Times, remembering and releasing Aaliyah 20 years later. Imani, thank you for your writing and this conversation.
Thank you so much. It was a joy to speak to you.
That's writer Imani Mixon talking about her story in the Detroit Metro Times, remembering and releasing Aaliyah 20 years later. And we will have a link to her article at hereandnow.org.